know how up to date you are on Kol Kores, but there was a Kol Kore that went out in Teves, no, in Kislev, Tavshin Ayin Tes, which by your calendars is not that long ago, and it went out with a major announcement forbidding participation in credit unions as either a lender or a borrower on account of the fact that it's a violation of the Issur Ribbis. It's actually not getting this week's parasha. And the Kol Kore acknowledged that Rav Moshe has some kula by corporations to borrow or lend money with interest to the corporations, but it says v'aheter shakosav linyan shares eino shayich lakan. The heter that Rav Moshe wrote about shares in the company, that's not shayich over here. It acknowledged in the Kol Kore that sheyesh mitzadidim lahakel, that there are those who are mitzadid lahakel. So if you ask a shayla of what to do if you've already participated, but it said you shouldn't do it. So in general, when you see a Kol Kore, you got to look at who the signatures are, who signed the letter. So you expect, you know, major announcement that there are certain names that they'll, you know, their names would like end up on the bottom of you know, just about any letter that screams at somebody. But these names are very, very significant names that appeared on this Kol Kore, and people who do not shoot from the hip, people who do not say things easily, and they are Rav Hillel David, Rav David Feinstein, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, Rav Reuven Feinstein, and Rav Shlomo Miller. So, you know, it's Yadua that these are very serious people. It's also Yadua that Rav David was the driving force behind this. And Rav David is certainly not someone who just shoots from the hip and says things just to say them. So this requires a good deal of study. Now, you might say, what do I care about credit unions? Why would I care about it? Well, apparently, if you buy a car and you finance your car loan, there is a very good chance, better than 50-50 chance, that your loan is actually through a credit union, which means that most Jews who own cars are probably financing by using this form of financing, which involves, according to the signatories of this Kol Kore, involves a potential Isser of Ribbis. The basic idea of a credit union is it's that it's a non-profit that extends loans to its members at very low interest rates, and the income is distributed to its members. So it used to be that like labor unions or employees of large companies would form these unions, but now they're like unions that just have thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of members from throughout the country, and as long as you pay your regular fee, that adds to the loan the pot that they can lend money from, and you're eligible to take out a loan. And the reason they're so popular is because it's much lower interest rates than banks, because they're not for profit, and particularly with car loans, as we mentioned, they're extremely popular. Now, sometimes it will extend a no interest loan to members. The problem is that even then, even if it's a no interest loan that it's giving to a member, if I'm contributing $50 a month and then I get a loan for $1,000, if I need to keep paying my dues during the duration of the loan, that would still be ribbis katsutza, because I'm paying not just the $1,000, but I'm paying the additional $50 in order to be zoche to such a loan. That would be a problem of real ribbis katsutza. So what about a bank? Why isn't it a problem that when I borrow money from Chase Manhattan Bank, let's say, I buy a house, I need a, in general, you'll discover one day, Emirat Hashem, that when you buy a house, hopefully you'll be in Eretz Yisrael, so you'll buy a house and you'll realize that the cost of the house is, I don't know, $700,000, right? So you don't have somebody, you look in your wallet and you see, no, I got $7, I don't have $700,000. So what do you do in such a case when you have to buy a house? You take a loan from a bank, and that's, and you pay a mortgage over many years, and that mortgage has interest calculated in. Now, who owns Chase Manhattan Bank? So it's owned by a company. There's and it's a publicly traded company, I think. And there are shares in the company. People have shares in the company. Do any Jews own shares in the company? Yes. Do they benefit from the fact that the bank lends out money and charges interest? Yes. So you're borrowing money with interest from a Jew, from a lot of non-Jews also, but from a Jew. Why isn't that a problem of ribbis? And maybe if we understand why that's not a problem of ribbis, we'll have the openings, we'll be able to understand why a credit union is different, and then maybe we'll even have the openings of a heter to understand. So by a bank, there are a couple of svaras that are used to be makel. First of all, there's the svara of bittul berov, that the minority Jewish ownership is bittul, in the majority, non-Jewish ownership. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch was machmir, even in cases of majority non-Jewish ownership, and the Shaul Umeshiv wrote to him that he should retract that psak. He didn't. He did not retract that psak, but there are two problems with this. First of all, each partner is still entitled to his share, so it's hard to say that he's batel in the cheshbon. And also, the Shulchan Aruch and Kosher Mishpat Siman Kuf Ayin Vav, as explained by the Bi'ur HaGra, holds that all the money belongs to all of the partners. We don't view it as if some of the dollars belong to one guy and other dollars belong to another guy, and that would be the problem with the second heter, which is Breira. The heter of Breira is the Shaul Umeshiv holds that you can have kavana. Yeah, I'm borrowing money from the bank, but I'm only borrowing from the non-Jewish partners. The money that the Jewish partners have, that's going to lend money to non-Jewish borrowers. But, so that way I stay clear. But who gives you the right to determine whose money you're borrowing? It's not such an easy kula to accept. And there are other suggestions. Rav Moshe, Nigris Moshe, Abnezer, Chelik Alev, Simon Zion says that the minority Jewish shareholders, and this is the kula that people rely on, I think, that the minority Jewish shareholders are meaningless. They have no decision-making power. There's no authority in a large public company. You're just buying a small share of the profits and losses of the company. The fact that they call it ownership and that they send you a thing where you get to vote as a shareholder whenever, once a year or something, says Rav Moshe, Pitume mili bi'alma. It's just words. It doesn't mean anything. You can't do anything. You buy shares in Google, and then you call up Google and you say, well, I have an idea. I think you should change. They're not listening. They don't care what you say. If it's a publicly traded company, unless you are a significant shareholder, you don't really have a say. And because of that, the Jewish people who have shares in a bank are not really significant players. If you have a large enough share that you can make a real decision, then you're a true owner. It's not exactly clear where the line is. It's less than a majority, but it's not exactly, it doesn't seem that you need a controlling interest. So where does that bring us when it comes to credit unions? So Rav Moshe and Yordei Chel Gimel Sim Mem required a heter iska for the credit union on the Lower East Side. It's tzarich iyun why he would require it in light of his shita about partnerships where you can follow the majority ownership. Right? Rav Moshe is that by partnerships you follow the majority ownership. By a corporation, you're a nobody. So what would be the problem with a credit union? In fact, Rav Asher Weiss thought that there's no problem with credit unions as long as the majority is non-Jewish, just like in a partnership where we follow the majority. So one possibility, why Rav Moshe required a heter iska, Rabbi Bleich mentioned recently that he heard that the credit union Rav Moshe was talking about was on the Lower East Side, and it was all a group of people on Lower East Side, and the people on the Lower East Side back in the day were majority Jewish. So that was the problem. It wasn't a problem with credit unions, it was a problem with that particular credit union. Now, if that's the case, then we're suggesting that both Rav David and Rav Ruvain misunderstood Rav Moshe Shita. Hard to say something like that, right? A little bit difficult to say something like that. More likely, a credit union is different from a corporation. You see, in a corporation, 51% ownership equals total control. And therefore, when you own a tiny piece of it, you own nothing. You have no control whatsoever. It does not follow the rules of halachic ownership, where if 100 people are partners, we follow the majority for decisions, regardless of the percentage ownership of each of those people. The fact that in American law, 51% equals total control is an indication that the minority ownership isn't real halachic ownership. But in a credit union, one man, one vote, regardless whether it's $1 or $1 million. Doesn't matter how much stake you have in it, you have the same say that everybody else. So it is not, as Rav Moshe had said, by a corporation, pitume mili bialma. It is real when you are a participant in a credit union. In public corporations, my small ownership is meaningless because there's some larger shareholder, a small group of significant shareholders, that can overrule me, whereas in a credit union, nobody is more control than anybody. Everybody is equal. So if there's a bank, let's say, with no major shareholder, then maybe it would be just as bad as a credit union. Rav David also makes another distinction. A shareholder in a bank or a corporation buy stock with the hopes of what? Why do you buy stock? Is it because that business talks to you and you're interested in that business? No, you buy stock. Why? To make money. You want it to go up in value and you want to sell that stock. The value of the stock is not primarily related to the interest received. It's really based on the value of the company. Now, the stock value goes up or down based on lots of different factors. So the investor can't be said to be giving money for the purpose of lending. Credit unions are different. The whole purpose is I'm giving money so that that money can be loaned out. So that would make it a much bigger issue. It's simply a group of people being joining together to issue loans and share the profit. Nothing else takes place, and that therefore would be an isser. And if I paid at the outset but don't continue to pay dues during the loan, then it would be a ribis mukdemis problem. But as we said, if I continue to pay during the loan, it's a ribis ktsutza problem. So what do I do now? Is there any heter? So first of all, we had mentioned before that many poskim view this as no different than any other large corporation or large partnership where the minority is Jewish, and that you could rely on that. And in fact, that's the Shita of Rav Asher Weiss. I asked Rav Mordechai Willig the same, and he also agreed that he thought it was mutter. He said that Rabbi Bleich in Yeshiva University had given a shiur on 14 reasons why there's not a problem of ribbis when you borrow money from a bank. And Rabbi Willig said, and to be honest, none of the 14 reasons were particularly good, but when you put all 14 reasons together, enough to be somichan, that you're allowed to take a loan with interest from Chase Manhattan Bank, let's say. But he said, and he said, all of those 14 reasons, l'chora would apply to a credit union as well. He thought we could be makel. Okay, but let's say you want to follow the psak of Rav David, Rav Reuven, Rav Shlomo Miller, Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, you know, that they all said that it's a problem. But you have a car in your driveway, and you know that that car is being financed. So what are you going to do? You call up the credit union and say, I know that I borrowed money with the promise of paying interest, but it turns out that there's a religious problem with it. So I'll tell you what, I'll give you back all the principal, but I'm not paying interest. So no, that's criminal. You're going to be in big trouble if you try to get away with that. It doesn't work. I just got a call last week. A guy told me that he borrowed money from another Jew, from a conservative Jew. He meant to write a heter iska, but he didn't. And now the loan is due in 2 weeks. So what should he do? It's really a problem. You can't do that. You have to make sure if you're borrowing money with ribbis that there's a heter iska involved. So what do you do when you're stuck? So Rav Shlomo Miller writes in a follow-up to this Kol Korei, he writes, V'yesh lahadgish le'elu shekvar lavu sheyasu shelis chacham. He says, I can't emphasize enough to ask a shayla if you already have a loan. Ulada'ati he says, I think you can continue to pay the ribbis in such a situation. But the best thing to arrange is yishalem acher avuro, to have someone else pay for you, shalom b'tor shlichus, but not serving as your shliach. And just make it clear that you have no obligation to him. So what does that entail? That means you do the following. A guy calls me up, says, I owe money to a credit union. I say, okay, what's the chelek haribis of the money that you owe? Let's say it's $1,000. So I call up that guy's uncle. And I say, hey, uncle, you know, your stupid nephew decided to take out a loan with a credit union. Now he owes extra money for ribbis. Can you pay that chelek, the ribbis chelek? And your nephew is not going to owe you anything for this. He's under no obligation to pay you back. You're just doing a solid for a family member, you know, by taking care of this. And if he says yes, that's the best way to handle it. And he literally, really has to be under no obligation to pay you back. So he is not, the uncle is not a shliach, because I'm calling the uncle for him. He's not even calling his uncle, so he's not a shliach of him. And it's clearly not just working through him. Rabbi Reisman pointed out in Yoredeya and Simon Kovs, we find a way to avoid this even this ribbis payment by doing this. The Shulchan Aruch actually brings this up. You may not give him the understanding that you're going to reimburse him. You should not be the one who asks him to do so. Have someone else. And you approach the rabbi, let the rabbi try to give the call to the family member. Rabbi Reisman also pointed out that you'll be unable to get out of this loan without making a ribbis payment. So if that's the case, and this other Eitzah doesn't work, you don't have anyone who's willing to do that, so he says, you don't have to delay until the credit union comes after you. Meaning you might think, okay, it's an Isser to pay it. So I'm just not going to do it until they come after me and threaten to throw me in jail. He says, no, you don't have to do that. You don't have to delay until they come after you. However, he says, each ribbis payment is a separate Isser. So the best thing to do is figure out what all the ribbis payments are going to be together and pay it all at once. very challenging for a lot of people because they took out loans because they don't have that kind of money on hand. But that would be the best way to get out of it. There's an additional factor in cases where your total payment until today is less than your loan principal. Let's say a case where the loan was for $100,000 and the total of your payments so far, even though on the spreadsheet it says, you know, a certain chelik of it is principal and a certain chelik of it is interest, but your total payments to date is less than the $100,000 principal. So Rav Moshe held that there's no issur ribis until you've hit that threshold of the $100,000 principal. So according to that, additional payments can be made. You could keep doing the regular payments until you hit that $100,000 threshold. Once you hit that, then you got to pay all the ribis at once, because then you're not going to be allowed to. Most poskim disagree with Rav Moshe on that point, but in this situation where it's not even so clear that the original loan was an isser, Rabbi Reisman thought that a person can rely on this until he can arrange to refinance. It would be proper to be moser moda'a, to say in front of two Jewish people that the new interest payments are being made under duress and that the intent is that they be counted as principal payments. It would seem that that would help even according to those who disagree with Rav Moshe, and will allow you to continue to hold the credit union loan at least just to that point that the principal is reached. So to summarize, if should one take out such a loan, the credit union, apparently according to these Gedolei HaPoskim that signed this, not a good idea. Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Mordechai Willig, Rabbi Bleich disagree. They think it's fine. It's the same as a bank. If one has such a loan, so then you either rely on those that are makel entirely, or you come up with this eitzah of having someone else pay, but not for you, and you're under no responsibility to pay them back, or you keep on making your payments until you get to that threshold of the principal, and then you pay all of the interest all at one time, so that you're not in violation of multiple isurim. So that would be the way to continue. The latest news apparently was that someone emailed me on Matzoy Shabbos that they had just emailed Rabbi Yisrael Reisman. That's what I kept referring to when I said Rabbi Reisman. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, Rishiv and Torah Vadas, and the author of the Art Scroll book, Ribbis, which is a fantastic sefer, very big Talmud Chacham, obviously, but master in the halachas of Ribbis. And Rabbi Reisman said that he spoke to Rav David, and the Rav David is actually reconsidering based on some of the complicated legalities. So I guess stay tuned, and we'll find out if Rav David maybe will change his mind. Okay.